Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
In verse 29, Paul says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in, not sparing the flock." This is something that we have fought for 39 years. False teachings that are out there, making sure you guys know what they are. And sometimes people getting mad at us because we talk about who the false teachers are.
Paul's warnings for the leaders in the church of Ephesus are just as much for us today. False teachers will always be a danger to the body of Christ, and learning to identify them starts and ends with knowing God's Word. With more from Acts 20, 13 through 38, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
When I was at the Four Square church I was at, and I was complaining about the way tongues were being used in the church because they were misusing them. And one of the pastors that was there, he's the youth pastor there at the time. I was in youth. I was a little bit older at this point. I was teaching the junior high there. Lisa was teaching the fifth graders, and Jessica had not yet been born. So it was right before Jessica was born, but we were married. And I was complaining about it one day, and the youth pastor, who's a friend of mine, said to me, "Just there's a Calvary Chapel in town. Just go there. There's one that just opened." He was tired of hearing me, and he was like, "Just go to Calvary Chapel." And I went to the Calvary Chapel that was there. It was in a meeting in a movie theater, which was different. When we walked in, though, and sat down, and the music started, and they're just singing worship songs to God, and then the teaching, Skip Heitzig started teaching, and I was like, "Oh, man, I'm home. This is it." It wasn't long before I talked to Skip, and he said, "Well, what were you doing in the Four Square Church?" I said, "I was teaching junior high." He said, "Want to be our youth pastor?" These are the early days. I'm like, "Sure, never done it before, but sure, I'll be your youth pastor." And it was amazing to me that within a few years, I'd gone through some pastoral classes, and I found myself in Tucson teaching line by line, verse by verse through the Bible. It was something that God did. It didn't start because I said I'm going to do it, but I see the incredible value that Pastor Chuck had. Just really quickly, Pastor Chuck's story is that he took a small church in Huntington Beach, and he named Calvary Chapel. It's just a small church. And he had 2 years worth of messages in the Four Square Church, and he ran out of them. But he liked surfing at Huntington Beach. So he thought, "Well, there's Barnhouse has a 6-part series on Romans. I could probably get 2 years out of that." So he started teaching the Bible through the book of Romans, and the church exploded. God began the Jesus movement among the hippies during that time, and Pastor Chuck just started teaching through the Bible. And now Calvary Chapels all around the nation are just teaching through the Bible, and they're exploding. Things are happening. We are not shunning to give the entire counsel of God's Word, and I'm so glad for that. The last thing that I want to do is to figure out what passage I'm going to teach this next weekend. It's so good to be a Calvary pastor in the sense that I go, "There I am. That's where I got to teach. I got to figure that one out. Let's get after that one." Now, Paul then says, after telling them that he's given them the whole counsel of God, which Paul says in verse 28, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, and shepherd the church of God, which is he purchased with his own blood." So God has entrusted to pastors and teachers those that are Christ that he purchased with his own blood. The Bible even says that we will have to give an account for the souls we take care of. That we cannot take what we do lightly because we give an account before God. I love that he said, "I am innocent of all the man's blood." And I love that he said to shepherd. We are supposed to be shepherds. Peter talked about shepherding the flock of God. This is 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. "The elders who are among you," these are the elders, the pastors, the leaders of a church. "The elders that are among you, I exhort you, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." So Peter's saying, "I saw Christ beaten." He was there that night Jesus was beaten. "So an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory to be revealed." Then he says this, "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you," which is where we get the word pastor from. So to be a pastor means to shepherd. "Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not because you have to, but because you want to, because you're willing to." Charles Swindoll used to say, "If you can do anything else but be a pastor, then do it." He talked about the difficulties, the struggles, that came along with it. He says, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. The pastorate is one of those areas where people can take advantage of people. All you got to do is watch a little bit of Christian TV to find that out. Happens in churches as well. We're in your life during some of the darkest days and some of the most joyous days. We get to know you, we interact with you. And then if a pastor says to you, I'm really struggling, I need some money to pay bills, that's a breach of pastoral ethics. We've had that happen here. And, you know, look, Paul's going to talk about working with his own hands to provide for himself. But there's other passages that talk about the worker being worthy of his hire. And paying someone that's in ministry is good. If someone's not making it on our staff, I always tell them, first of all, come to us. But every once in a while, there's been somebody, when someone says, how you doing? And they go, I'm having a tough time paying my bills. And they go, well, let me help you. In the old days, they'd write them a check. When I would find that out, I'd really be upset with them because they're taking advantage of you instead of caring for you. Another thing that happened, we had a lady who called. This is tragic. It was one of our pastors on the church, but a lady called and said, there's one of your pastors who's going to visit people who are sick and he's taking medicine from their medicine cabinet. And we said, who is it? And she said, I can't tell you. So I got all the pastors together and I said, all right, we got a call that one of us is taking pills from somebody's, who is it? Nobody said anything. So I had him call the gal back and say, if you don't tell us, why'd you tell us? If you won't tell us who, then why'd you tell us? Because if we can't do anything about it, then your call doesn't mean anything. You've accomplished nothing by not telling us who it is. So tell us who it is. And she did. It was a close friend of mine as well. And when I went to him, he finally confessed it. And he was going to, AIDS was big during these days. He was going to people that had AIDS and he was taking opioids and different things from their cabinet. And we believe in restoration. We just don't want to fire somebody. If he's addicted, we want to help him in his addiction. So we gave him a leave of absence. We worked out a restoration plan. And it all fell through and failed, unfortunately. But there cannot be a worse breach of pastoral ethics than doing something like that. There's been another national pastor that got caught involved in several affairs with women in his church. That's another major breach of pastoral ethics. Think of this. You're caring for God's people, chosen by the Holy Spirit to care for God's people, and now you take advantage of them. They'll answer to God for sure. And so Peter's speaking of these things when he says, not for dishonest gain, nor as being lords over those who are entrusted to you. You don't lord over people. Don't tell people what to do and not do. I'll tell you guys periodically, if you find yourself in a church where the church starts telling you what you need to do, then you need to find another church. If you're here and we start telling you what you need to do, then find another church. We're telling you what the Bible says. We're encouraging you to be followers of Christ and to be committed to Him. If I start telling you, what churches that tell people who they're supposed to marry always amaze me. You can't marry that person. We're going to tell you who you should marry. Are you going to live with them the rest of your life? That is lording over people. And I'm surprised that anybody even puts up with it. Then he says, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Now back to Paul. In verse 29, Paul says, for I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. This is something that we have fought for 39 years. False teachings that are out there, making sure you guys know what they are. And sometimes people getting mad at us because we talk about who the false teachers are. I remember talking about Kenneth Copeland and Casey Treat and Kenneth Hagin years ago and people getting upset and leaving. But these were the ones who have passed away and are wolves that don't spare the flock. They just want to collect their money. Kenneth Copeland used to say, I'm a billionaire. Come to find out he's not a billionaire. He only has $570 million. Where do you think this pastor got $570 million from? And does it surprise you that he lies and says $570 billion is a billion? Because it's more about money than it is about anything else. There are savage wolves that are out there, and it's our job to watch out for them. We do that as well. By the way, savage wolves are not only those who are false teachers, but sometimes they come into the flock for different reasons. They come in the flock maybe to take advantage of girls. We've had to deal with that. They come into the flock for different reasons. Verse 30, he says, also from among you, and this is even sadder, also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn you day and night. The people in the church will rise up and try to draw people to themselves. And I can tell you, again, in the 39 years that we've been here, this has happened. It's happened three specific times that I can think of where we had to remove a person because they started teaching things on their own to draw people away. One of them was a pastor. The other one I won't tell you about. But one of them was a guy who used to sit in the coffee shop with his Bible open. And whenever I'd go up and talk to him, everything was kosher. Yeah, hi, pastor, good to see you. Oh, yeah, I'm just studying my Bible. I think it's important to read your Bible. Somebody else would talk to him, and he would go, they go, what are you reading? And he would go, oh, I'm reading what the Bible says about, he was a tourist. He was a Hebrew roots guy. You got to keep the law in order to really be saved. And this church is leading you astray. You got to keep the law, and I'm going to give you some information. So we had some of you guys come to us with their material. And so we went to him and said, what are you doing? Sitting here telling people about this stuff. You know what he said? I don't ask. They ask me. Well, you're sitting in a coffee shop with your Bible open. What do you think Christians are going to do? We just want to get to know each other. Well, what are you studying? He knows exactly what he's doing. And so we warned him. And it was funny because when we warned him, you got to stop this or we're going to ask you to leave. Well, you got to Matthew 18 me. No, we don't. Yes, you do. No, we don't. Yes, you do. No, we don't. Yes, you do. No, we don't. Let me show you the verse that we use when someone is deceiving like that. This is Titus 3, 10 and 11. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. So what you do when a person is divisive like that is you warn them. Then you warn them again. And then you tell them they can't be here. You remove them. Now this guy, after we warned him, he came back. I was at the East Campus, and I walk out, and he's sitting at a table. And I wasn't upset at all. I just saw him there. And I said, you're not supposed to be here, are you? And he said, this is a public place. I can be here. I said, no, it ain't. He said, yes, it is. I said, no, it ain't. I said, this is a private place, and people are here by invitation. And your invitation has been revoked. Our doors are open to anybody who wants to come through. We have an invitation to them. They can come in. But when someone begins to cause problems, we can say, your invitation is no longer good and you need to leave. So we had a police officer there because he said, I'm not leaving. What are you going to do? I said, I'll be back. So I went and I talked to the police officer who was there. Every so often we have an armed officer, and that's just for deterrence. We think it's better to be visible for a deterrent if anybody wants to cause problems in the church. You know, any of the you guys follow what I'm talking about. So we just wanted to make sure to have a deterrent from time to time. So I'm with that police officer. So I went, it was a gal, and I told her, it's a guy here we've removed from the church. And she was taken back by that a bit. A church? You ask people to leave? And I said, yeah, I'll explain it to you later. We just need to go ahead and have him removed now. So she said, okay. So I went back, this is at the East Campus. I went back and there's a room I did Hot Topics before the service back then. So I'd go do Hot Topics in this room where we videoed them. And then when I left, they were still there. So I walked out in time to hear her say, if you don't get up, I'm going to cuff you and take you and I'm going to arrest you and put you in a car. So he had fought her the entire time about leaving. And so finally, he left. But I got to tell you, it wasn't like a joyous thing. It was a heartbreaking thing. Number one, that he was trying to deceive people in the flock. But number two, I really wanted to see him do what was right and come to repentance. To really say, I won't do this. I got to think, what would cause a person to rise up in a church to try to gather people to follow themselves? That happens, but what would cause that? Why would you go to another church that's teaching something, even that you might disagree with, and talk to them about disagreeing with it? Maybe God will give them repentance. That's probably what we should look at if they're doing things that are really bad, but not to be divisive. So he talks about them, and he says this with a broken heart. Then he says, So now, brethren, I commend you to God, which is a great thing to be able to do with these leaders, and to the word of grace. So he says, I commend you to God and the word of grace. This is what you're going to take to these people, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. He says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold. Yes, you yourselves know that with these hands I provided for my necessities. He was a tent maker. He made his own way. And for those who were with me, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Here, when he's talking about giving to the weak, he's talking about Christians giving to the poor. We need to give to the needy. And we find that particularly difficult to do now, because we never know when we're giving money to someone who's homeless or who needs money if we're really helping them out. It takes some due diligence to really do that. But I believe that we all ought to have compassion. The rich man wouldn't even take care of a man that was at his gate, that was eating food from his table. And we need to find ways to do that. And we give by our ability, by the way. So if you don't make much, you're like, well, I can't give. Yeah, you can give some. Give by your own ability. The Bible says, when you give to the poor, you lend to God, and God will repay you. And here we learn something Jesus said we don't have the citing for in the Gospels. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I like to support the Gospel Rescue Mission. I like what the Salvation Army does. There's a place called the Church on the Street here in town. The pastor's a friend of mine. He helps homeless, both men and women, get into housing and to be taken care of. So there are ways for you to do it. But sometimes God just brings someone to you for help. We have a food pantry here. It's part of our church. Call the church office. Say, I've got a family that needs food. Can I set up an appointment that they can come down and get some food with you guys? We have a benevolence fund that's for people at the church and for people outside of the church. So a certain amount of what you give goes to help people that are members of the church, and a certain amount of money that you give goes into a benevolence fund where we help people that are outside of the church. So this is part of what we do as Christians. And then in verse 36, and when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words that he spoke, that I will see your face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. Now, it's kind of a somber message, isn't it? As we hear Paul give his farewell. But he made several statements that are so important. Number one, he is committed to the gospel. Number two, he commended them to the word of God and to God himself. And number three, he was faithful to give them everything, that he held nothing back from them. What a good thing for us to understand that that is what ministry is really about. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time that we've been able to spend here. We thank you for the word. And even this kind of somber message where Paul meets with these elders, knowing that the church in Ephesus is going to have to deal with difficulties. And we pray you continue to give us wisdom as we deal with them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for just a few minutes. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you've never invited him in, Jesus has given you some invitations, first of all. Jesus said, are you weary and tired? Come unto me and I'll give you rest. Jesus said, I'm the door. Anyone who enters in any other way is a thief. Jesus said, are you thirsty? Come unto me and drink. At the woman at the well, he said, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But drink of the water I give you, and you will never thirst again. But out of your hearts will flow torrents of living water. The Lord wants to meet you where you are. Maybe you're in the midst of some difficulty and hardship now, and you're ready to turn from the world into God. So the Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God. You will be transformed. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. But this is why you were created. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose for you. If I could talk to those of you who are younger, God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose in your life. Same thing for those who are older as well. There's no one that's excluded. You don't become a Christian by osmosis. You become a Christian when you say, Lord, I want you in my life. And by that, you become born again. You become a child of the living God. If you're here today, you want to give your life to Christ, I'm going to ask you to do something simple but very profound for you. Just raise your hand. By raising your hand, you're saying, I want to live my life for Christ. I'm ready to turn to God and away from this world and live for you. God bless you. You guys' hands went up immediately. God bless you there in the back as well. That's wonderful. God bless you, ma'am, right by the aisle. Anyone else? God bless you. Yep, all the way in the back. It's as high as you can get it. God bless you. Right here in this middle section, God bless you there. That's awesome. This is a moment. This is something God's doing in your heart and life. The day you surrender to Him and begin to live for Him. So I'll just scan the room one more time. Just raise your hand now. Again, lift up high so I can see it. God bless you. Back over here, and God bless you there. That's great. All right, you can put your hands down. And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life. I turn from my sin that I can live for you as a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Christ, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. Listen, again, I'll never forget how excited I was to learn more about God and more about the Bible. And we live in a time when that's much easier. You don't have to go down to Hosanna Tape Library and check out three cassettes. You can begin studying the Bible even today and how powerful that is. Now, if you did raise your hand, we have a new believers team that's out in this foyer. We've got a packet. We want to give you a Bible, a new believers packet. We want to come alongside and help you in any way we can. We want to see you established and rooted in Christ. So stop by the table there. Now, I want to bless you before we go. I'm going to string together a couple of verses that are my favorite verses, and I'm going to bless you with them. Now unto the King eternal, unto the King immortal, unto the King invisible, the only wise God, and now unto Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask and think. I commend you to Him. I put you in His hands. I bless you in His name. May the Father fill you with the Spirit. May there be a hunger for the things of God. May you know you walk with Him because you desire to know Him more and better. And may God bless you as you do what you do in this dark world. You see this world getting darker, right? And light shines brighter in a dark world. And may God use us to touch people who so desperately need Him.
Thank you so much for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you'd like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday, 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday, 6 p.m., Sunday morning, 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. services right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 a.m., streaming at reach.radio, or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.